Hear me? All right, could you bring me up a little bit, please? Thank you, Jesus. All right, Ephesians chapter 4. And I'll just read verse 11 and verse 12. And it says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, I want you to pay special attention to verse 12. And it tells us the reason why. Of Christ. Amen. For the equipping of the saint, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Upstairs, I want you to give me verse 12 from the New Living Translation, please. Verse 12. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. You see that? Now, I want you to look at another verse, but I'll read through to it. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. And since I'm reading it, give me that verse also in the New Living Translation, and we're going to move on. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be what? Mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Well, now I want to read you one more verse. And I'm reading from the New King James, and we'll read it from the New Living as well. That we should no longer be children. See that? That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. All right. Show us that New Living Translation, verse 14. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, I was standing over there and the Lord prompted me to come over here and read this, but it's really going to fit right in to my message this morning, because that's our purpose, what we just read. Amen? That's the my purpose as a minister, as a God-called minister. I didn't call myself. I was called by God. Amen. So that's my purpose, is to teach and preach the word of God so that you are benefited. And so that you effectively. And that can never happen without maturity. Hallelujah. There must be maturity. And so that's the reason it says that God gave some apostles, some evangelists, apostles, prophets, and evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And the purpose for these offices is to perfect the saints, to mature the saints, to feed them to where they can serve the living God and bring glory and honor to God. Are you here? Mission? Of course, positions in life as well as in the church are necessary. You have to have people in different positions in order to get the work of God done. Are you still here? But where the problem come in is when we get caught up with our position. You know, I'm this and I'm that and I'm this and that. You know, give God the glory and give God the praise. Wherever God's called you to serve, you ought to serve with a heart of thanksgiving and humility. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. When God looks at us, He loves us all. But if He's going to work with us the way He wants to work with us, He has to have obedient people. And I believe one of the reasons that God lets us know some of what's going to happen when we get over into glory, when we are in heaven with Him, one of the things we know is that we will receive our rewards. And the reward will be for faithfulness. Did you hear me? You may have a different gift than I have, because gifts come from the chief shepherd of the church. His name is Jesus. That's where the gifts come from. But it's how we use the gifts that determines what rewards that we will receive on the other side. Amen. Now, I wouldn't be saying this unless somebody needed it. Either somebody in here or somebody out there. Praise the name of the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So We can't get all caught up in ourselves. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Okay? Now, having said that, let's move on. And I didn't give you a subject, and all I'm doing is continuing pretty much where I left off a couple of weeks ago. We had a guest speaker last week. Great service. Praise God. I believe in having a service where the Holy Ghost is in charge. And I understand a little bit better, I believe, on why the Word of God tells us to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Because the enemy will fight you every step of the way, always trying to stir up something somewhere to create an atmosphere where the Spirit of God can't move the way he wants to. Never forget this. Well, you might say, God. You understand where I'm going? And if I don't get to where I'm planning on going, that's okay with me too. Amen. But I want you to understand something here. I want you to understand something. So, going back to what I said, the enemy will try to use anything he can to hinder the move of the Holy Spirit. To hinder the work of God. He's working hard. We see it in the Bible where the Apostle Paul and others talks about how they were hindered from doing certain things. Hindered. 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 But Pastor, I don't understand. God is God. Jesus defeated the devil. I just don't understand. How can he do that? Well, I'm going to tell you. The Bible tells us that we, do I have your attention? The Bible tells us that we are laborers together with him. You've heard the phrase, and it's referred to in the Bible. I've heard people say, you know, I don't want this person, I don't want that person's blood on my hands. Anybody else ever heard that? Yeah. What does that mean? That means that in some way, or in some capacity, you hindered that person from receiving what God wanted them to have. God forbid anybody go to hell because I didn't serve God. God forbid anybody go to hell because they saw something in me that displeased God, but it was pleasing to them. Or they were just plain turned off by me. And they're lost today. Brothers and sisters, remember what I said. We are laborers together with God. If we're going to see God move in this church and throughout his body, the body of Christ, the way he wants to move, we must cooperate with him. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God has to have people to work through that will say, yes, Lord. Kind of like Isaiah, we talked about that the other day. Lord, if you need someone, send me. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So, Pastor, what is my part in this? Our part is to cooperate with him. Even when we come together like we are right now, we need to come together, the saints, and I know in a church you have people of different levels of spiritual maturity, but those that know God, been walking with God, we need to make sure that we stay in a place where God can use us, where his spirit can flow. Therefore, we need to get rid of all the weights, all the burdens, all the stuff that's weighing you down, all the stuff that's crowding your mind, all the stuff that's disturbing your emotions, to the and have you in a place where you can't move for God, you can't flow with God, because you haven't dealt with those things. Hallelujah. Y'all coming back again to hear Pastor James preach. And so, brothers and sisters, let's make sure that we are a vessel that God can work through. And it could be something real simple. And God's not going to ask you to do anything you can't do. If he tells you to go and bless someone with $100, but you don't have $100, that means if you do it, he's going to have to provide it if you don't have it. You understand what I'm saying? But if you have it, then he blessed you to be able to do what he's telling you to go do. And I'm just using that as an example. You're still here. Bless God. Amen. So, thank you, Lord. I'm going to try to get back where I was for a few minutes. Our job as ministers, things of God. Spirit, soul, and body. I'll say that again. Spirit, soul, and body. Are y'all getting anything out of this? Last time I was with you, I began to go through, and I won't go in depth, but I will mention them, some things that we need to do to have favor with God. How many of you want favor with God? Doesn't mean he doesn't love you. That's not what I'm saying. But you want to put yourself in a place where he can use you. And you want to put yourself in a place where he can bless you. Well, he want to do both. He want to use us, and he wants to bless our lives. You do believe God want to bless your life, right? Oh, yes, he does. Oh, yes, he does. But we are laborers together with him. So we won't go into all of it, but I'm just going to, as a refresher, I told you, number one, we need to give our hearts totally to God. Amen. And I read to you Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, but you don't have to go there. And I told you, number two, that you must trust in God, or your trust should be in God and not in man. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, Jeremiah verse 17, excuse me, chapter 17, verse 5 through 8. Willing to forsake your will for his. John 6, 38 through 40. The Gospel of John, that is, 6, 38 through 40. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16 through 20. You can just write those down. Don't turn there. And I think we ended up on number four. Renounce sin and live right. Y'all remember that? There's some areas in the church of God, the church of the Lord, amen. You know, fornication, illicit sex, that is, should not be even mentioned among saints. Perverted sex shouldn't be mentioned among saints. Adam, and he gave him a wife. Her name was Eve. And he told them, he gave them a commandment, not an option. he gave them a commandment. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish this earth. Didn't he? Yeah. Amen. We need to honor that. God has called us to holiness. And when I say holiness, I'm not talking about what you wear. Amen. Although what you wear shouldn't be provoking. Amen. I'll be straight with you. You know, I don't want to be looking at anything your husband should be looking at. Well, I got a few amens on that one. We're told in the Word of God to dress decent. And that goes for male and female. I'm not picking on the women. We all need to dress decent. Amen. But that's not what holiness is all about. It's not all about your clothes. It's about your lifestyle. Is there another amen on out here somewhere? It's about your lifestyle, the way you live, things that you permit that goes contrary to the Word of God. How many of y'all coming back to hear Pastor James preach again? All right, just checking. But I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Because, listen to me, God wants to use you. And we can never lose fact of the fact that Jesus said, we are the light of the world. How are we the light of the world? Jesus is the real light of the world, right? But we are to be in a place where Jesus can shine right through us. In other words, we are a vessel. That the light of God can shine through. Think about this for a moment. The only Jesus some folk is going to see, at least initially, is through you. Amen. But light shines in darkness. They can be in a dark place, but you walk in with the light of God, or they come into your presence in some way and they experience the light of God and it changed their life. Amen. Now, let's go back to Peter, 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. First Peter, chapter 3. And we were here the last time. And I'll begin reading again at verse 10. It says, well, let me begin in verse 8. It says, finally, all of you be of one mind. Amen. That's coming into the unity of the faith, isn't it? One mind. Having compassion for one another. Love as what? Brothers. Be tenderhearted, be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Everybody say blessing. See, we've been commanded by God to be a blessing. Hallelujah. Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit what? A blessing. Hallelujah. Look at verse 10. For he who would what? We read over this. We went over this, but we're doing it again today. How many of you want to love life? Enjoy life? And that, my hand's up too. Amen. He who would love life and see good days. And by the way, this is in the Old and New Testament. Let him refrain his tongue from evil. Uh-oh. In other words, can I say it the way we would say it here in South Carolina? He who would love life and see good days, let him watch his mouth. Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Don't let any and everything come out of your mouth. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do what? Now, isn't this in the Bible? So we don't need to be making excuses to do what we want to do. Brothers and sisters, we're saved by grace. Aren't you glad? Not of works, lest any man could boast. I am saved by the grace of God. But the grace of God is not an excuse for me to do what I want to do and say, don't worry about it, I'm under grace. The Bible also says, the same Bible tells us that whatsoever a man sows, the same shall he reap. And that includes our words. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek what? Peace and pursue it. For the, listen, and this is where I'm going. For the eyes of the Lord are on who? Righteous, and his ears are open to what? Their prayers. So now stop right there. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. Let me tell you something. I'm saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood. But if I go stupid and start having a cursing fit and hurting folks' feelings and just acting any old way, God's not going to excuse that until I deal with it. Sister, if I intentionally hurt your feelings, you know what God expects of me? To get it right with you. And I can't use, well, I'm saved by grace, you know. No, there's some things we need to do. Amen. Mama Kathy and me, we've been married, this year would be 52 years. Amen. And both of us were saved from day one. But I cannot stand here and tell you that over the past 51 and a half or whatever years that we haven't had disagreements. Maybe I wasn't having a very good day or whatever, or had something on my mind, and you know, I might have said something I shouldn't have. What's my responsibility? Go back and apologize to her. And then ask God to forgive me. And likewise, in other words, grace is not a license to sin or just to treat people anyway. Because when that happens, we begin to block our blessings. Amen. Verse 12 again, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to what? Their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. God's not pleased with that, and you can hinder your blessings. If I'm dealing with an area, whatever it may be, I am the first person that I examine. You hear me? I am the first person that I examine. We must make sure that there is an atmosphere individually, but in this church, for God to move. If you look across the, and I'm just picking names out now, I'm not talking about anybody in particular, but if you look across the church, and if Sally see Mary and think, boy, I can't stand her, I hate the guts, I hate her very guts. You know, I wish something would happen to her. You know, I can't stand her. Well, you got a problem. And you can forget God using you in the church. And I've heard people say, well, fake it till you make it. Well, I wouldn't advise that. Get it right. And you know a good way to just slap the devil in the face? The very person that you don't like, go give them a hug or be a blessing to them. Let them know, listen, I love you and appreciate you. And if they have offended you, just go ahead and tell them, and I forgive you. Listen, folks, what I'm telling you is God's getting ready to move. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be left out. Doesn't mean I'm not saved. I just don't want to be left out because God can't use me because of me. I believe that God raised up this particular church. We're not the only one. For times like this, God has a plan for this church. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for us as a corporate body. There's some things that he's called us to do. Hear me good. This is a word from the Lord. I know it in my heart. Watch out for distractions. Watch out for distractions. Because it's about to get good. You hear me? I say it's about to get good. But we want to be able to recognize it when it shows up. Lift your hand and look up to heaven and say, Lord, thank you for blessing me so that I can be a blessing. Amen. Glory be to God. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Turn to 1 Timothy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to go, and I'm not going to do it today, maybe next week. I planned to do it today, but I went a little different direction. But I want you to come back next week. But I want to leave you with a verse. And these are instructions that the Apostle Paul gave Timothy, but it's also for you and I as well. I'll begin reading at verse 6. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith. And I'm sorry, did I not tell you chapter 4? Did I not? I did not. Okay. Chapter 4, verse 6. 1 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 6. I'll start over. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself towards godliness. You see that? I say, do you see that? Exercise yourself towards godliness. Verse 8. For bodily exercise profits a little. In other words, you exercising your body, that's not a bad thing. That's not a sin. Amen? There is profit to it, right? It says here, there is profit to it. And the only reason it says little, because it's little compared to spiritual things. Okay, so and living right and living the way you should. For bodily exercise profits a little. Listen at this. But godliness. Everybody say, but godliness. Say it again. But godliness is profitable for all things. Are you ready for this one? Having promise of the life that now is. And we'll be going into that a little bit further, but I will say this much. Sometimes folks say, well, you know, I just can't wait to get to heaven because things are so bad down here. I just don't know what I'm going to do. I tell you what, such and such got on my last nerve, and this is happening and that's happening, and we so broke we can't pay attention, and it's just, life is just terrible. So I just want to go on and be with the Lord and just get out of this mess. Well, you have a promise from God. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable. Everybody say profitable. For all things, having promise, there's a promise to the godly. Having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. What am I saying? God's called me to be blessed while I'm in the earth. And I'll be blessed in the life to come. One of the things I need to do, I must do, is walk with God. Don't get so caught up in me, but get caught up in Him and His will for my life. And He's promised me that He's going to bless me. But Pastor, you know, I'm doing the best I can. Why am I having so many challenges? The Bible says, the righteous will have issues. You know, you'll be challenged. I'm kind of paraphrasing it. You'll be challenged. But it also says, and He will deliver us from them all. You're challenged because you're still in the earth. Jesus prayed for us. He says, Father, I'm not praying that you take them out of the earth, but that you keep them from the evil or the evil one. He may challenge. He may try to put pressure. He may try anything. He can. But when we keep our eyes on Jesus and keep our eyes on His word and make a decision, I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to cooperate with Him. I'm going to walk in love. Boy, I say that about every message because it's that important. I'm going to walk in love with my brothers. I'm going to walk in love with my sisters because God promised that He's going to deliver me from the wicked. And that's not just when you die. That's why you're still here in the earth. Amen. Amen. Did y'all get anything out of that? Let's make sure that we keep a good atmosphere for God to move in. Let me say that again. Let's make sure that we keep an atmosphere for God to move in. Can I tell you something? You have two things. I'm closing. The guys are coming. You have two things attached to the side of your head, one on the right side, one on the left side. Look like that. You see them? And as far as I know, everybody in here got a couple. This is what I want to leave with you. These two things are not trash cans. So stop listening to trash. Hear the word of the living God, but don't hear trash. Don't listen to trash. We also have a couple of lips, a tongue, some teeth on the front of our face. We are to use that to be a blessing and not a cursing. A blessing and not a cursing. I'm going to tell you, if you do what you heard today, which is the word of God, it will change your life. I don't care where you are. Well, I tried it and it didn't work. Live it. Commit to it. Amen. God loves you, brothers and sisters. God loves you. Amen. And I do too, by the way. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We give you glory. We give you praise. Thank you, Father, for lives being changed. Because they not only heard the word of God, but they received the word of God. And they made